Wake the neighbors and phone the kids. It's about time for WSLM's newest show. Get ready for Kentuckiana Sports Talk, the biggest and only local sports talk show in Kentuckiana. Focusing on Southern Indiana and Kentucky high school sports, regional college sports, and national sports news. If you want to talk to the KST guys, George Browning and Blair Thompson, call the KST Talk Line at 812-883-3401. Keep your comments brief and to the point, or Becky will throw a flag and take you out of the game. And now we go into Studio A inside the Pinewood Studios of WSLM for Kentuckiana Sports Talk with George and Blair.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Get ready for Kentuckiana Sports Talk.
Exercise our right to vote, but before we do that, we're going to talk some sports here. We have some guests here, Blair. The Eastern Lady Musketeers are in studio. We have Coach Michael McBride and a couple players here. Who you got with you, Coach?
We've got Brooklyn Casey, our senior this year, and Isabel Claywell, a returning junior. So a couple of girls that have been part of our program here for the last several years.
Yeah, I know. Talking to other coaches, they say, Claywell, how many years of eligibility she got? She's been there forever, and she's still just a junior.
Yeah, I wish we had the rules like Kentucky where I could have played with seven.
Absolutely. So anyway, welcome, ladies and coach. Thanks for coming up tonight on this rainy night. You guys have already got a game under your belt. Coach, tell us a little bit about that, the big win over Crawford County, 49-46. Who played well for you, and tell us what allowed you guys to get that win.
Well, it was a tough environment to go over there and play on the road. And you know, Crawford County's a very good team, well coached, and they just play a physical style of basketball where they're really going to challenge you every possession. And you know, it was good for us. We didn't shoot the ball very well in the first half, and that was a big thing that we had to look at halftime. We had a lot of good looks, but we had some girls step up. Kendra Sill played really well. She ended up finished the game with 21, mm-hmm. And then we shot the ball well in the second half, but. You know, it was a tale of two halves from the standpoint of what we did. We had good looks, at the basket in the first half. We just couldn't make any. We were 3 of 19 from the field in the first half. And, you know, if we make a few of those, I think it changes the first half complexion of the game. But in the second half, we were 13 of 19. So, wow. Can't go wrong there when, you're able to do that in the second half.
A few people that I've talked to, not necessarily you or any of the players, but I've heard the word rebuild this year for your program. You've lost so much over the last couple of years. Is that a fair statement? Is that kind of where you're at as you head into this season?
Oh, I hope people are thinking that, and that way they'll overlook us. because I don't look at it as a rebuild at all, because we've got a very talented group, a group that's had a lot of success coming up. We've got these two gals with us that – have been part of the success the last 2 years. So, when they say a rebuild, no, it's more of a, just a new group. But I still have very high expectations for this group. We're still going to compete for, a conference championship, from the standpoint of what we were able to do over the summer and getting ourselves to this point. So, we don't expect any letdowns from the standpoint of our season. Our goals are still the same within the conference and then within Class 2A. I think we're right where we need to be, where maybe some teams are overlooking us, and that could play to our advantage as we get through the season.
I wish I was rebuilding and being in the top 10, right? Come on. I'm not buying it, George.
Well, that is what I said. Coach Hickey was here, and he was saying, some people are, he went through the list of people in the conference who are being picked, and I said, yeah, Coach McBride probably loves that role of rebuild. Yeah, you sell that. Same with Coach Voiles, right, at North Harrison.
Yeah.
Yeah, pick against her. She probably loves that. When you went into summer, Coach, and for our listeners who don't know, Coach McBride has another obligation he's going to get to, so we're going to talk to the girls after he leaves a little more. But was job one going in this summer replacing a player like Rachel? I mean, she was just a one-of-a-kind type player. She's gone on to play at Trine. And was that job one as you went into the off season, and now as you probably got that question answered more now, but was that job one going in?
Well, I don't think you go in thinking you can replace a player like Rachel, and, you know, losing Taylor even the year before that. You know, it's a matter of figuring out, you know, exactly what you're able to do with the personnel you have coming back. And I think for us, it's more this year a matter of balance, where now instead of having one or two that everybody focuses on and kind of leads us in scoring, we've got a multiple group of girls that can score on any given night. You know, with Kendra, for example, scoring 21 Saturday night, I don't think anybody expected that out of her.
Mm.
But she's very capable when she gets the opportunity to get the shots that she had during that game. And, you know, that's the thing we look at is who's going to get the, you know, the best defender assigned to them and who's going to get the second best defender. And then we've got a couple of girls who might get the third or fourth best defender of the other team that can go off at any time. And it's just going to be a matter of what matchups play to our advantage. And, you know, it just so happened that Saturday night the advantage was with Kendra, you know, on the baseline against their zone, and she was able to do some good things. So you know, Friday night against North Harrison, it might be somebody totally different. And that's, I think, the best thing about this group is the balance that we have with the lineup that we can put out there.
You talk about Friday against North. Before you get out of here, Coach, we definitely want to get some scout time, some preview for the fans about that game. Do you like playing a team like that this early in the season? I mean, you can't lose the you can't win the conference here in the second week or the second game of the season, but you definitely can put yourself behind an eight ball a little bit if you drop that game to North. Do you like that game this early, and you got a plan to stop Lily?
Yeah, well, you know, we don't like to play it this early in the season, but that's just the nature of whenever they move the season, you know, or to start a week sooner. We had to move that game because it used to be the last game of the season, and that's when it was always really good. But you know, North Harrison, you know, obviously with the success they've had the last 3 years and even, you know, 4 years probably. And they, you know, everybody says for them a rebuild with losing four starters and Lily coming back. But, you know, when you look at it, number one is it's a big challenge to go over there and win. That's the bottom line because they play very well at home. We haven't won over there in I don't know how long, maybe ever. I know since I've been here we haven't. But, you know, Lily Hatton's not somebody you're going to stop. You just have to do the best job you can and, you know, try to hopefully match up with the others and figure out a game plan to limit their opportunities. But they're so long. I mean, they started 6'3", 6'1", 5'11", the other night. They brought another 6-foot freshman off the bench. you know, so they're so long and athletic, and that zone can really cause you fits because they're going to get out on shooters pretty quick. But, you know, this early in the year, yeah, it's great to try to get off to a 1-0 start in the conference. But when you look at things, we've got North Harrison and we've got Salem here pretty soon coming up. I mean, you know, that could determine the conference race here in the first, you know, two or three weeks of the season as we look ahead because, you know, you go into the first weekend Saturday night and Corden goes on the road at Brownstown and beats them, you know. So you kind of never know, you know, until you really get into it. But playing these games early in the year definitely can set the tone for you if you're able to pull one off.
Mm. Now, one of the things we've asked the other coaches to do when they've been in here is kind of scout these two girls you brought with us. Talk about their strengths that they bring to your team this year and then maybe some things you'd like to see them improve on as you go through the season. We'll start with Isabel here.
Well, with Isabel, you know, she's going to step into a role now where she kind of gets to take ownership of the team a little bit as the point guard and probably the main focal point of most other teams' defensive assignment. And, you know, Crawford County did that same thing on Saturday night. They tried to take her away as much as possible, put the ball in somebody else's hands, make somebody else have to handle it a little bit. But the biggest thing for her is, you know, her leadership in trying to understand the balance that we have with scoring. And she did a good job the other night of trying to direct traffic with getting girls in the right spots with the fact that we are pretty young, starting three sophomores, you know, but she definitely stepped up big late, hit two big threes in the second half for us that kind of extended the lead a little bit, made her free throws when she got to the line. So the thing we're looking for out of her is just that consistency, but getting comfortable in the role of kind of taking ownership of the team and letting her get comfortable knowing that, you know, she's got free rein from me to make decisions out there and do what she thinks best in the moment. So, you know, we're excited about that. And, you know, with Brooklyn, you know, this is her chance to really step up and show what she can do because, you know, she does a lot of good things for us. And the other night was a big example with just her defensive intensity. I mean, she's going to battle with whoever we assign her to, and she's going to get the best player on the other team some nights, because I may need to give Isabel a break or I may need to give Kendra a break. But, you know, the best thing about these two is that they're willing to step up and lead. And, you know, I think with this younger group we have, they're a close-knit group, and they're excited about what we're able to, what we're going to be able to do this year. And, you know, they're going to keep plugging away.
For our listeners who don't know, Coach McBride is the president of the Hoosier Basketball Coaches Association in the southern half of the state. We want to say congratulations to that. He probably don't know all the things that that even entails at this point. So we thank you so much. We know how busy you are. And can you believe you've been at Eastern for 12 years? For me, it seems like yesterday you were starting the year off. I remember, I don't know if it was your first game of the year, but you were playing Mitchell there in the Eastern gym. And I remember, not, I think the John Harrell website had you guys predicted to lose by 30, and you lost the game by maybe 9, and everybody kind of knew, like, things had sort of changed at Eastern. And now you look at your record there, 166 wins later, a state championship, a couple sectionals. In your mind, can you believe it's been a decade plus two?
Well, it's, I've been pretty fortunate. I was fortunate, one, to land in this role and in this position. Worked with some great people, Coach Newcomb, you know, even Mr. Ferris now is our principal. And the players and the parents and the families we've had that have been involved in this program have made it so easy for me. You know, I've landed in a great situation. I've been very, very fortunate for these 12 years. And, you know, the success we've had is a testament to the people we've had involved in the program. It's not just, you know, anything I've done specifically, but I can honestly say that, you know, these have been some of the best 12 years of my life, and I'm in the right spot of where I want to be, and I've not been looking to go anywhere else. So I'm excited about the next 5-6 years as well, because we've got a good group this year. We've got some good groups coming up. And I don't see our success, you know, diminishing any at all over the next several years. If anything, I see it getting even better.
State championship, does that what's that do to you mentally? You go into a season now, it's out there. You've tasted it. How much does it drive you to want to get back there now that you've made that run? You end a season without a loss. Not many teams get to experience that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a motivating factor now, because once you've experienced it, you kind of start sitting back and thinking about, did you take the time to really soak it in, you know, and let it, you know, affect you. And so now, you know, to get back again would be a tremendous challenge, but a great opportunity if we can ever pull that off. But, you know, it's just something that's special that's going to stay with you forever. You know, there's going to be memories from those trips and the different things that we experienced together that we will never forget. But the one thing they can't do is ever take it away from us. So it's always going to be there, you know. So as we look forward, you know, we're just hoping that as you look at things, I mean, in our sectional, you know, in the last, you know, 11 years, 9 of 11 years, our sectional winner has gone to semi-state or beyond. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you look at the rankings right now, 5 of our sectional teams are ranked in the top 14 in the state.
Absolutely.
So it's not easy to win our sectional. So you can't look too far ahead, because it's just game by game, and, you know, see where things are at the end of the year.
All right, Coach. Well, we'll let you get out of here. Thanks for stopping in tonight, and we'll put the girls on the hot seat. And, hey, tune on to 97.9 on your way down to make sure they behave themselves here and don't say anything bad. But anyway, be careful. Speaking of building programs, that's where Coach is headed now, to watch one of his younger groups play. And I've always said that about him. He just pours in from third grade on. I remember seeing them at the third grade games and rooting those girls on and coaching them in the elementary gym down at Eastern. And he's got that program rolling, Blair, and that's it's exciting times for girls basketball in Washington County. So we're going to let the coach get out of here. And girls, how about from your angle? Do you see, is the coach? We'll start with Brooklyn here as a senior. We're going to have you speak up and use your mad at a sibling voice or arguing with mom voice so that our listeners can hear you. Brooklyn is let's start with Saturday night, the game. You guys start kind of cold, Coach says. Were there some pregame, first game jitters going on there as you open the season?
There was for sure some pregame jitters. We were really nervous and just, you know, we didn't really know what was going to happen. It was the first game, so we were just hoping everything would go good, and it did.
Izzy, with all the games that you've played over the years, you know, you started as a freshman. Do you still get a little nervous before a game?
I always get nervous before a game.
So how do you handle it? What do you do to get that? At what point in the game do those jitters kind of go away?
After the first play.
Once the ball's in the air,
yeah.
Things settle down. Coach talked about the championship and kind of wanting to get back there and experience it again. From a player's perspective, do you guys think about that at all? I mean, in the off season, as the season gets closer, is it something that you think about?
Well, I just try to take it step by step, you know, win sectionals first and then see what comes from there.
All right. How about you, Brooklyn? I know Izzy played a little more during that season. How much of a motivator is it for you to know, hey, I wasn't as active on that roster as some other players were, and for you to go and experience even maybe not the section or the state championship, but to get that deep in the tournament to where you can start filling that out?
It's very motivating. You know, we always think about it, but like Isabel said, we just got to take it step by step.
You're the only senior on the team. Is that fun for you? Is there a little more pressure when you don't have really other seniors to kind of help you pick things up? What's it like to be the only senior on the team?
It's different. Every year that I've played, we have always had a lot of seniors, but I don't mind it. I don't know. It's not bad, really.
And Izzy's kind of a senior in a junior's body, right?
Right.
What's your all's expectations going into the year? I mean, when you talk about goals, obviously you want to win sectional. Is conference something that you guys talk about as a team goal? Is that
for sure? Yes.
Yes, definitely. And since some people at our school want to change conferences, I think it's really important that we try to win this year.
Now you go in Friday night to North Harrison, and I remember being over there when you were a freshman, and there was nervous, and then there was that game. Tell me about how nervous you were, because they had all those pieces, and that crowd was amped up, and you're going to get a little bit of that Friday night, because I'm sure that place is going to be rocking.
Yeah, that was one of my first actual games that I really played in at a varsity level, so it was very different, and I was very nervous.
Talk about, Brooklyn, some of the teammates that you have. Coach mentioned Kendra and her big effort on Saturday night, but who's some other girls that are going to contribute with you guys this year? Who are some names that fans are going to hear about?
Definitely Shelby Patton, Lily Crumpton. She's puts a lot of baskets in for us down low. Libby, Shelby, my sister. And then we have another post player, Hannah. They're always there in case we need them.
Sister on the team, what's that like? You guys like rough each other up during practice, or yeah. Is she nice to her? Is he? What's the deal? I mean,
no, they're very nice.
Okay, all right. I don't know. You never know how it is, right? It can be
it's
a little.
Fun. It's very fun.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that. I got in a little trouble because we had Hattie Griffiths and Lexi is on the varsity team this year, and Mom gave me a little ribbon because I didn't talk about the sister equation on the basketball team. So I'm glad Blair kind of helped me out there. So just how you work all summer, and you know, basketball used to be you kind of put the balls away and then you pick them back up during the season, mm-hmm. but you work all summer. How does it feel now that the season's starting? Do you wish you had a little more time in the preseason, or are you glad that things are underway for real?
I'm definitely glad that it's really time to play now.
Yeah, I think the older you get, the more it starts like really soaking in that it actually means a lot more, mm-hmm. and it just gets a lot better as you get older.
All right.
I don't know, I have a couple of questions.
All right,
so, first of all, I just want to tell you guys, like, that whole run of the state championship was unbelievable, and I watched the game with like three or four of my friends on the couch. And was jumping up and down like Shooter on the Hoosiers, you know, when he's in the hospital, and it was so much fun, and it just brought, you know, great atmosphere for the community, for the county, for everything. And my grandmother, my uncle won 1972 sectional championship at Pekin, and my grandmother was 86, and she made the trip up to watch the girls play, and it was really awesome. You know, that was her school, you know, and she was able to go up there and watch that, and it was a great memory for her, and she still talks about it. You know, she rubs it in my face, you know, being the Salem guy, you know, hey, how many state championships does Salem have, Blair? You know, she always works me on that, and, you know, I'm good friends with her father, and you know, Claywell and I, he used to beat up on me playing basketball back in the day too. So, but we, you know, I just wanted to say, you know, what was it like being a freshman point guard in a state finals? That doesn't happen very often.
I felt a lot of pressure, and I was very nervous. I did not want to turn the ball over that game.
Yeah, I mean, because you're talking about, you know, that's the most critical spot on the floor, as the floor general, you know, and to be a freshman in that kind of setting, and you know, and have that run, and it's like being a quarterback on the football team, you know, when you throw an interception or you know, you fumble the ball, everybody notices it, you know, it's like that's the position everybody, you know, it's the when things are good, it's good to be the point guard. When things are bad, it's not, you know. And girls, I'm gonna say I was as nervous for you as you were out there, and I was a wreck. And I've coached a lot of things, but I was a mess. I just wanted it so bad, and I'm so glad you guys pulled that off. But the second question I have was: you lose Taylor, you lose Rachel. Now you guys got to take over and be the leaders. Well, what's that like?
It's very challenging. They were key players, and it's hard to, you know,
make up for it. But also, I think a really important thing is how close we all are. Like, we kind of just know each other and what's going to happen with when we play together. Right. So that
makes it easier.
Makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you can tell that, you know, we talked about that with the West Washington girls last week. And, you know, I watching these girls play, I mean, I've seen them play 3 or 4 times last year. And just, you know, you can see when teams are close and how much better it is, you know, how competitive they are because they want it for each other. You know, it's not really about them. You know, I know, you know, watching Isabel play, you know, 1,000 times, I'd say, just shoot it, just keep shooting it, you know, and she'd have wide open looks and she wouldn't shoot it, and now you guys get those shots, you know, and not that Taylor and Rachel were hogging the ball or wanted to shoot every time, but now you guys got to score, you know, and it just, you know, is that a weird feeling, or do you accept it now? Say, okay, now it's my time.
I accept it now. I'm ready for it.
Hey, that's a good answer. By you.
Yeah.
Ready to go? Yeah. Ready to show what you – yeah, because, like –
we just have to really just make up for what we don't have, and I think we do.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you ever hear Kelly Clarkson, since you've been gone, without thinking about that run?
No.
I wasn't even on the team, Blair, and every time I hear it, I think about that run.
Well, and I think that's what's so cool, you know, I saw the picture, you know, post the girls were making, and, you know, post they're making from, you know, eating breakfast that morning and to staying in the hotel rooms and just, you know, just having so much fun. And I think that's the thing, you know, we mentioned a little bit last week, but that's the thing to me that what makes high school sports so awesome is people who don't play and people who don't have kids involved, like, you never understand what that's about, and to be able to do something nobody else has ever done, to be the first one, you know, that's just is awesome. I know that you have the opportunity to go there again, you know, go deep in the tournament again this year, and I think that's so awesome that you had that opportunity. And, you know, we were talking about it last week, we had 3 teams in the top 10 in Washington County, and that's never happened before. And you know, it's just going to be a really fun year for girls basketball around here.
Now, for both of you, when you think back, and of course, to that title run, you all lost 3 games there in the holiday tournament, against 3 very good teams. But does it kind of change your perspective from the regular season? Like, Friday night's important. You want to win it because you want to win conference. But you also keep losses in perspective, don't you? Especially against really good teams, because you know, hey, we're just building up for the sectional. We want to be ready come tournament time. So you kind of, with each game, does that help you keep those kind of games into perspective when you play a North, when you play a Providence or Austin or Paoli?
Yes, I definitely think it does.
How about you, Brooklyn? Does that, you know, when you know that these games are just preparing you for the future?
Yeah. They matter, of course, but sectional is what really matters a lot.
Right.
So. Did you guys struggle last year with matching the intensity of every single team you played? You know, I know, like a Kentucky or like a Duke, you get the best of everybody's game. And being a state champ, it was, this is Eastern, the state champs. You know, this isn't East Washington, you know, who was a good basketball team, to this is Eastern, the state champs. You know what I mean? Did you feel that? Like, teams that maybe weren't very good and that they shot lights out against you, and you're like, seriously? Like, how's this happening? Like, they don't shoot like this, and they're hitting every shot. Like, did you get that last year?
McBride always told us that we had a target on our backs now that after we won. So
it definitely felt like that going into every single game.
Yeah.
It was very hard.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be a huge difference in the fact that, you know, everybody knew you guys were good. Everybody knew you were going to be good. And then all of a sudden, you did it. And it's like, okay, now we can tell people, hey, we beat the state champs, you know. Yeah. And I think that you know, I saw it in the Salem game. You know, Salem came out and played really, really well early. And then you guys fought all the way back and cut the lead to like 2 points late in the game. And it was like, you know, I had not seen them play like that, you know. And so I think, you know, I was just sitting there thinking, you know, that would be the hardest part as a coach and as a player. I mean, I never got that far, but, you know, but as a coach and as a player to be able to say, all right, you've got to match this intensity because they're going to give everything they have, you know. And if they can, it's their, you know, it's their Super Bowl, basically. If they can beat, us, they don't care if they beat anybody else the rest of the year. They can just say, well, we beat them, you know. And I think that was, and I didn't know if that was the case or not, but obviously it was.
Did you all see that even against the bigger schools like New Albany? Like, hey, even though we're 2A, New Albany's 4A, they wanted to beat you guys too because, hey, you're still the state champs.
Right.
Yeah. So, man, I'm excited for you all. That's what, when people told me, hey, Eastern's going to rebuild this year, I thought maybe early while the young girls kind of get their feet wet, but it's going to be one of those in-season rebuilds, if anything, because right. Coach is going to have them ready. I, you guys get that from Coach. He never settles for it's okay to be mediocre.
No, no. You better give it your best all the time.
Yeah, I've seen Coach get upset a couple of times. I wouldn't want any part of that. I'd be like, nope, just sir, whatever you want, Coach. Right, that's the way to do it.
Well, you know what amazes me about Coach McBride is he coached baseball for a few seasons at Eastern, and he won a sectional doing that too.
Right.
I mean, you know, I hear coaches say a lot of time it's not X's and O's, it's Jimmy's and Joe's. But I say, well, coaching matters.
Well, let's don't forget that, you know, he also was at Borden before Borden made their run deep in the tournament too, you know. So he worked with all those young kids, with, you know, when they were – the kids that were in high school that year, you know, he worked with them when they were younger, and he was a pretty good coach down at Borden as well. He won't – you know, I know he won't sit here and say that, but when I coached with Coach Whedon, he was pretty good,
and
yeah.
He'll tell you, you know, they had a few move-ins after he left and really did not get that state title. So, really, the guy can flat-out coach and – what do you think of from his perspective? The state championship changed the way he coached? Is he more intense now, less intense, kind of the same guy? That's okay. He's already
yeah, he's not listening. He's got turned off. Don't worry about it. Say whatever you want, girls. This is the best part. We'll edit it out for you, right?
What do you think from a coaching perspective, Brooklyn?
I think that he's always been intense.
Yeah.
Not really any more than he used to be.
I think since we're younger, he also has more trust in us, and that's kind of nice because we kind of like – he just has more trust so we can feel like we can do stuff without, you know, being yelled at.
Well, I heard him say whatever she wants to make a decision, do it. So I think he's just shoot her time he get it. Say, hey, coach, it's my decision. I'm just gonna let her fly, right?
I think that's right, Blair, until – it goes over the limit.
You know what else?
Wait a minute. Hey, come here.
Hey, you know, one of the other things that I'm really always jealous about is Isabel always has her hair in braids when she plays, and it looks like it takes, like, hours to do. So whoever does that is really impressive, by the way, because I couldn't do that.
Thank you. That's my mom does. Okay, well, 10 minutes.
Yeah, well, I don't think your dad could do that. He probably couldn't. No. He can't pull that off, no.
Hey, mom's picture's on the wall down at Eastern, too, isn't she? Isn't it?
Yes, the only one that's not is dad's.
we rub that in, Donnie, a little bit.
Okay, Mark, she's taking a shot. Shade has been thrown. So I always brag that when I saw Izzy play in third grade, I said, hey, she's going to be a star. And somebody says, well, oh, you really went out on a limb on that one. Crossover and baseball to the hole and everything in third grade. So, anyway, girls, we want to thank you for coming in tonight. We look forward to talking to you throughout the season, and we want to wish you good luck. We know it's a rainy, cold night. So, Brooklyn Casey, thanks for coming in. The lone senior on the Eastern team, the 1-0 Lady Musketeers after the big win. And I like to call it Crawdad County, but Greg, if you get any calls, I'll give you my number. And Isabel Claywell, a junior on this year's Lady Musketeer squad. So we want to thank you guys for coming in. We're going to take a quick break, and then on the other side of the break, we're going to have Coach Bousman. And I'm not sure who he brought with him tonight, but we're going to talk about the Senators' great football season. So we're going to do a Senator wrap-up here. So come back on the other side. And again, ladies, thanks for coming in. All right, welcome back. We had a little transition out here. at the Pinewood Studio. We want to thank the Lady Musketeers again and Coach McBride. He had to leave a little early, but they came out on a cold, rainy night here. They're underway Friday night. They travel to Ramsey to take on the Lady Cougars of North Harrison, and their 6'2" standout Lily Patton. I don't know
what you're thinking.
You got me distracted.
There.
We had a conversation in the press here. Anyway, Patton. We got Coach
Bowsman. Coaches like Patton. I heard yells and screams. That's what Maddie told me.
I used to coach with Coach Hatton.
Oh yeah, that's right. Hey, forgot about that.
Yeah. All right, Coach Philip Bowsman in West Washington. He brought a few of his players in. We want to do a season wrap up. Man, you guys had an outstanding year. I tell you, nobody was expecting a whole lot out of you with a heavy load of sophomores, and I heard some predictions where you may even have a losing season, and that was anything but the case. Tell us who you brought with us, and we're going to talk about this year.
You know, I've said it a couple times the past couple weeks that, you know, people didn't think we'd be 9-3 playing for a sectional title, but those people must have not been in our locker room the months of June and July when we were talking about the potential that we had this season. So we're pretty excited where we finished the season. Still disappointed not coming out with a sectional title, but it was a great season for us, and we're ready to build off of it for next year. Tonight I brought Holden, my son, as a quarterback, and then Bobby Stevens that, you know, Landon McFeeters was a great running back for us. Had, 29-90 as a rushing record. Bobby, without exact numbers, ended up finishing the season at over 2,300 yards. So, you know, Bobby surpassed that record with over 400 yards rushing this year just as a sophomore.
Bobby, we'll start with you.
Hey, I don't think I've walked 2,300 yards in my life.
I probably haven't either.
You know what?
I know you haven't. I played with you for 4 years.
Yeah, I've seen
some. I'm trying to be nice,
you
know,
man. Austin made us run. Blair never had that.
He was outside the 3-point line, right?
Clapping
for the ball.
Yeah.
The rough crowd I got here, man.
Bobby, take us back to Friday night. You guys play a tough team, really 14-0, a great effort. I didn't see a lot of sad faces on that. Were you guys just – I know you want to win and you want to move on, but did you feel pretty good about the year that you all had from a player's perspective?
Yeah, I think we had a really great year. And they were a tough team to beat, and we held them pretty good in the fourth quarter until they had that big run. And we were still playing pretty great, and it was just upset that we lost, but we had to try to get better next year and then try to go further in.
When you look at that game and that team, what's one thing you take away as a player to say, okay, we were close, here's what I have to do as Bobby to get better, but this is what we have to do as a team?
Well, they had a lot of seniors this year, and we only had like 6 seniors, and we were a young team, and we still played pretty good. But next year we just need to get better and hit the weight room, get stronger, and just go on from there.
Holden, talk to me about you come in this year and you start at your first year as quarterback. At what point in the season did the game slow down for you, or with all the preseason stuff you all did that not even need to happen? Was the game already kind of slowed down for you from the work you've done?
It was probably after week one when it really started kicking in and rolling against Pekin. And then, I mean, I was pretty nervous against Pekin, but after I had the big run to start the game, then my nerves just chilled out, and then I just played really relaxed.
So one team, one dream. I remember I've heard that a lot recently. Where's that sit now that you finished the year with such an impressive record, making a run to the sectional finals? Tell me about that one team, one dream. Where's it at here as you head into your junior seasons?
I mean, it's still the same. We came up with that when we were in third grade, and Mason, Chase, and all of them, they were in fourth grade, and we always said if we're going to get to Lucas Oil, it's going to be as one team, and I mean, we just got to get back in the weight room and just keep getting better on the practice field, and we'll get there.
Blair, you got anything?
Yeah, I was going to.
I don't like the hog things. But.
I'm going to interject here a little bit and not get trashed by Phil over there. But, you know, I just want to know. I sent a text message wishing good luck on Friday. I watched the game. It was too cold for me to go out there. But I watched the game. And you know, one of the things that I think going in that I had talked about, I had concerns with, was their fullback. And I thought you guys really handled him pretty well throughout the game. I thought that, you know, defensively, you know, you guys – I thought your defense played real well. You know, I know you talked about it on Coach's Corner last Wednesday, how well your defense played late in the year. You want to talk a little bit about it, about how, I mean, because basically, George, I don't know if you've seen it, but they were you know, just hand the ball every single time, double tights, you know, wishbone, and they had a fullback that was a dude, and I thought that West Washington really did a nice job of containing him most of the night.
Well, schematically, it was, if we're going to get beat, it's going to be by the fullback. And Dawson Basinger, he's been a stud since he was a freshman, kind of like Bobby is right now for us as a sophomore. Dawson was a great running back. You know, he's been handed that title since his sophomore year. So for us, you know, you got to kind of pick your poison. And for us, schematically, it was the fullbacks. I think he had like almost 30 carries.
Right.
And, you know, he had 30 carries for around 130 yards. Dawson had like 99 yards rushing. Bobby, total yards between receptions and carries, had 100. Holden had almost 130 passing. So it was pretty equal. But, you know, you got to kind of pick your poison against a team like that. And Dawson's a great running back, and we weren't going to let him beat us. He had one big run in the second quarter that I felt like is what gave them their go-ahead touchdown in the first half.
I think didn't you guys get a penalty on one on
we
the third
did.
Down?
There was a couple of plays in that first half that on that same drive where we had him bottled up, and I thought we had him taken care of, and he broke it and went on about a 40-yard carry, busted it down to about the 30. Some things happened. They end up scoring, going up 8-0, and besides that, the game was pretty neutral.
Right.
And, you know, so you're playing a team that's loaded with seniors that's been to the sectional final for 3 years straight, now four. And, you know, it's an 8-0 game at half. And I told the kids at halftime there were some things we got to fix. But, man, it was a fun game to coach.
Yeah, I think that was a thing, you know, we talked about, George and I talked about, and both of us agreed that it was going to be a lot closer than what people were going to get was
really
giving
was.
You guys credit for. And, you know, as exciting as it was as a fan to watch, you know, when it was 8-0 at half, because that was the thing for me as a friend and as a fan of you guys. I was thinking to myself, you know, if they can hang around, you know, if we can hang around within one score and go to that fourth quarter down a score, and then, you know, Bobby was going to pop one, or you know, something was going to happen, and I felt like, you know, just you had some couple of drive killers there, and just you know, and I thought that I saw you getting pretty upset a couple of times. That I felt like they were holding your ends a lot all night long, and you know, I also want to comment. I thought Jake Strange, right?
Jake,
I thought the Strange kid played absolutely phenomenal for you on the defensive end of the football.
You know, we got Murphy and Strange that are both like 6'5 at the end. I mean, and they're dudes. They're going to be juniors and sophomores. We got them both back next year.
Strange is so long.
There's length of both of them. And you're right. I was frustrated with some things that I told the official throughout the game on our side. I said, you know, if you're going to let them hold on, it's going to be tough for us to win this game.
Right.
But at any rate, it was 8-0 at half, and I told the kids at half, you know, it's been a fun game to coach. Let's go get this thing in the second half. We got in the red zone 3 times. You know, and I've been text, emailed by multiple coaches throughout the year about the youth of our team. And you know, it's my 20th year total as a coach. I am getting old. 18th at West Washington, 12th as a head coach. But you start figuring out, you know, over those years, you know, whether you have a young team, experienced team, whatever you may have, you know, we've had a young team this year, and we've won a lot of close games.
Right.
That when you're a senior-laden team, you win those games. When you're young, a lot of times you lose them. We didn't. We didn't lose those close games this year, and even though we were young, we still won those games, and I think that has to do with the type of players that we have. And that's pretty exciting to think about, that we're going to have them next year and 2 years from now and so on. When you have those young guys winning ball games when they're tight, it's pretty exciting to think about what the potential is going to be. And, you know, we're upset that we didn't win this past Friday, But, you know, we gave a team that might be sitting in Lucas Oil in a couple of weeks. And they may not. I mean, they may get upset by North Vermillion this week. But they have a chance in a week or two to be in Lucas Oil. And we felt like we were in the same spot. And, unfortunately, we weren't. But we're going to gain a lot of experience and a lot of knowledge of how we need to improve as a team over the next year and so on.
Well, you knocked off the state runner-up from last year and in the second round also. But, you know, and I think that's something, you know, we mentioned it last week. You know, that kind of, I know it didn't slide under the carpet with you guys, but, you know, I think around here in the area, maybe, you know, people didn't realize, oh, hey, they just did this as a bunch of young kids. And, you know, kind of on that same note, Bobby, you know, what's it like being the target, man, public enemy number one for everybody? I mean, I know for a long time, you know, West Washington has been a spread team. And they've had good running backs, obviously, with Landon and now with you. And you know, this year, you know, you're getting a lot of carries, man. What's it like? Because everybody goes in the game and said, I got to stop this kid, you know. And, you know, we've nicknamed him Ricky Bobby because he's fast, you know, at Salem. Maybe we got to slow him down or try to. But what's that like? What's that like, man, to be that guy as a sophomore?
Well, it feels pretty good. It's just I have really great linemen that help me out a lot with them runs and – most of the time when I break out a big run, the perimeter blocks pretty well. And after that, I just try to show my speed and get past everybody. And it works most of the time, but sometimes not all the time.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing that's I think, so impressive with two things. One is he has a lot of patience, you know, and I think Coach Bowser would agree is, you know, for a young kid, I mean, he's a great football player, but for a young kid to have that kind of vision and that kind of patience to wait for his blocks and wait for it to open up, and then when the hole opens – it's gone. He's gone. I mean, it's another gear. Is that something that you agree with, Coach? Or
I mean, it goes back to my days of playing. I mean, we had Brett Hamilton. He had great speed and great leg strength. Then you go through it, you know, now that I've become a coach, Dylan Conrad. I'm familiar with Matthew Deaton, you know, even though I was in college when Matthew was playing. Matthew was a phenomenal athlete. James Clark was a phenomenal running back for West Washington. And then now that I become ingrained at West Washington, you got Dylan Conrad. Dylan put a lot of time in at Jasper and in speed training.
Right.
And that was something kind of new at that time. And Dylan, when he was training, was a great athlete. But there was a time there, his senior year, that the thing I noticed from Dylan was his top speed when he took the ball to the end of the run was the same. And that was a difference with him. Then as I progressed as a coach and became a head coach and blessed to have Landon McFeeters at 6'3", 220. I mean, the dude was a dude. I mean, he was, in my mind, the best running back I'd ever seen in the county, and I could say that as a player,
right,
as a coach, seeing everyone. I mean, RJ, you know, he's my biggest rival as a coach, and RJ was a stud, but Landon McFeeters at 6'3", 220 was unreal.
Right.
And now we've got Bobby with all the other skilled guys behind him. That's a compliment with Holden at quarterback. I mean, when I can take Bobby rushing for 2,300-plus his sophomore year, Landon at 1,990 as a senior, it becomes pretty lethal. And,
right,
and when Holden can pull the ball and read option, the things that we do, the receivers that we have, it makes us pretty lethal. So, I'm blessed.
Ready,
I mean,
Coach ready to start now.
I mean, when the game ended Friday night, as we sat around my house and sat in the coach's office Friday night right after the game, it wasn't about we've lost this group to graduation and so on. It's, do you realize what we have coming back that accomplished a 9-3 record with a bunch of sophomores and juniors and a couple of seniors? It's not about coaching. It's really about the Jimmys and Joes, and we definitely got the dudes that make my job really, really easy.
I was going to ask Holden, you know, excuse me, you talk about Bobby being the game plan for everybody and, hey, we got to stop Bobby and coming in there. That's got to make you salivate, you know, because, hey, you go ahead and focus on Bobby next year because me and these other skill guys are going to make you pay for that. If you're going to put 10 in the box to stop our running game, we're going to hurt you. Is that the mindset as you, I know you got a basketball season coming up here, but as football is kind of up there twirling around in your minds, is that the thought?
I mean, every team's going to try and stop a sophomore that's running for 2,000 yards, but, I mean, Safer and Chase, if you give them the ball, they're going to make plays, and then, I mean, if the ends crash in, then I'm going to pull it, and Safer and Farmer are going to give me blocks, so, I mean, Bobby's just good, so.
I'll tell you, I thought Mason ran the ball well for you towards the end of the year as well.
You're right. You know, Mason was a key component for us. You know, Hunter Pate got hurt late in the year. He actually got dinged a little bit against Salem in week 9 with his calf muscle, and then week 10 against Valley. It really gave him some trouble, and we had to pull him out. And Hunter ended up being our leading tackler on the year, even though he sat half the last couple of games of the season with some injury. But, you know, we're going to have Hunter Pate. We're going to have Mason Armstrong, Glenn Rankin. And what we do with an H-back, Mason was our H-back all year. Glenn Rankin is a sophomore, going to be a junior, is going to be able to fill that role as well. So we've got about 4 guys from a depth standpoint that can be very effective. Mason has great feet, and he doesn't have to have amazing speed with the offense that we run. He's been able to break some big runs. So Mason's a great compliment. Hunter, Bobby, and like I say, with Holden pulling our read option, at the end of the game Friday when we shook hands, you know, North Central talked about, you know, he told me, he's like, you ought to run your quarterback a little bit more. And I was like, we will next year. Next 2 years we will. He's a sophomore that 150 pounds. Right. And, you know, his mom told me he can't run a whole bunch this year. But, you know, next year she can.
Some big ones. Yeah. He set some big ones for
he
you
set
the
some
last
big
four
ones.
Weeks, for sure.
You know, so at any rate, mom's going to be okay with it over the next 2 years. But if she's not, she's going to have to be. But regardless, you know, when your quarterback can pull it and be the third or fourth threat, with the athleticism that we have in those spots, it's pretty lethal. So we're excited. I mean, you know, we're thankful for this season we've had. I got an email today about being 9-3, and you know that there's a lot of teams not going to be very excited about playing us this next season. Right. And we like that. But
well, and then your running game really opens up your throwing game too.
It
you know,
does.
And that's, you know, as a quarterback, Holden, that'd be something that, you know, I'd be pretty excited about, that, you know, a play action pass, or, you know, just being able to open up that throw game. And you know, talk a little bit about what it's like to be the quarterback on Dad's team. Talk about the little, because I talked with Maddie last week, and we talked to Ryan last week when we talked about playing for Darren. I talked to Hunter a lot when he was playing for Hank, and I know that there's a bit of pressure put on, but I know you love playing for Dad. But what's that like being the quarterback playing for your dad's team?
Well, I mean, the games are pretty easy, but it's practice where it gets a little heated, and then we make up at home, and then it just keeps going like that.
Well, I mean, I know. So, Matt, we asked Maddie who she was more nervous for, watching your dad coach or are you playing? She said you, because she knows how it was when you get home. So, but that, you know, is it, you know, I know coach, you know, as far as having Holden out there, being the coach on the field, you know, is it more nerve-wracking for you knowing that he's back, he's the quarterback now on your team, or is it more fun to know that your son's out there playing a game?
Well, I'll tell you what, there's nothing like, you know, Maddie graduates this year, so I've had her on my sideline since she was 5, mm-hmm. and now Holden is a player, so that accumulation of those two things is pretty amazing to me and pretty emotional.
Right.
But when Holden's playing out there as a quarterback, you know, to me, I've never tried to take my son over anything else,
right.
But when he's playing, I mean, he had a late hit. I forget what game it was.
The Tecumseh
game, there was a late hit. And, you know, I watched the play. And afterwards, Beth asked me, she's like, you didn't see what happened? I'm like, no, really, I didn't. I followed the ball to see if we made the catch. Didn't see if he got hit late. You know, one of those deals. But regardless, it's pretty special to be a coach with your kids on the sideline, whether they're a player, a manager, whatever it may be. It's something special because you devote a lot of time to the game, whether it's scouting, meetings, whatever it may be, and to see them out there, it just has a special meaning to it. And, you know, I'm very fortunate to have that opportunity. But,
As a coach, though, like, I know as a player, you and I used to get pretty excited about big quarterback sacks. When you see somebody coming up on Holden's backside, are you like, throw it, get rid of it?
I do. You know, he's constantly hearing me yelling, get rid of it, you got pressure, this and that, because I'm trying to protect him. Friday night, I was telling him, get rid of it, run, run, run. And he told me after the game, I said, nope. And he did. He said, nope, and made one of the greatest plays of the game, you know, in passing. And, you know, it's just one of those deals. And he's got a line that understands protecting him. He's got a great line in front of him. And I think they take great pride in that. All the way back to the summer, we had a couple of fights this summer at camp because they were protecting him. And they said, coach, we're not going to let him hit Holden, you know. So I'm like, whether they're lying to me or not, they told me the right things. The number one thing was we fought because we were going to protect Holden, and they felt like in their mind that was the right thing to tell me because they knew they'd get him out of trouble. So if that's what it is, that's fine. And, you know, so when you have that camaraderie, it's pretty special. But
Another thing that we really haven't said yet is, you know, you got a 2,300-yard rusher at least, 23-plus, right. You know, and Holden put up big numbers at throwing a ball and, you know, you got to have pretty good guys up front to be able to do that. I don't remember very often did he get sacked this year.
His first sack of the year came week 5 against Paola.
I don't remember very often.
You're 5 weeks into the season, and you got a team that's now 12-0 playing for a regional title against Southridge. It's a 3-point underdog, and his first sack came against them. That's pretty special. And I don't know. We'd have to look back at the stats, but I bet he got hit less than 6 or 7 times all year. So – that's pretty comforting as a coach, but even more as a dad.
Yeah.
It's just bottom line, it's just the way it is.
Well, your big boys were getting it done for sure.
They absolutely are.
Holden, to put you on the spot, Blair asked Maddie this last week about what's it going to be like not to to be on the sideline with Dad and you. What's it going to be like to come off and not see your sister there? That's going to be a strange feeling to not have her there to cheer you on or pick you up when Dad's kind of coming down on you or whatever the case may be. What's that like to think about emotionally to not have her as close as she has been?
Well, it's definitely going to be weird because every time I come off, if she knows I'm mad, she don't talk to me. And then, but if something good happens, she's always right there beside me, give me water and tell me it did good. Or if Mom's asking something, she asks Maddie. Then Maddie's going to ask me, and then I ignore Maddie. And it makes Mom mad, so it's just going to be really weird not having her there.
Now, she said her and the senior girls beat you all in Powder Puff at one point. We need to clarify this.
Yeah, the referee screwed us on that one.
Was your dad referee?
Yeah.
I was.
I kind of got that
actually,
vibe right there.
Actually, the sophomores did not score, but if they did, we were calling it back.
So
it didn't matter. The seniors are going to win.
Jamie Richardson just messaged me and said an athletic Bowsman at quarterback always makes linemen look good because Jamie's quarterback was Phillip's older brother and Holden's uncle.
He also got his brother smoked against Charlestown. Let's see if he tweets that out real quick.
He didn't mention that. Yeah. You know, he might have got pulled out of the game for that
Yeah,
one,
he
know,
got so. He got his quarterback smoked against Charlestown senior year. Well, first play of the game.
He might have forgot that.
Yeah. He didn't forget it. He knows it.
Yeah, for those who are listening tonight, we're going to go just a little bit past 8 o'clock because we got the Coach Miller, Archie Miller's coaches show coming up here. I would do my Edith Munker, oh, Archie! You know, that's all I got, Blair, on a Monday night after a long day.
Hey, just keep watching. You got your cards coming to town.
I can't wait. That's going to be a great show to follow that up. When the lowly Cardinals who are in the ashes rise up like the Capulets.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And beat Romeo and company.
Don't worry.
I don't know.
Romeo,
who was the Capulets or Montague?
Yeah, don't matter.
Anyway, sorry.
Read your past or wrong book you've been reading. Read that Katrina book. You'd be good.
Here we go. Breaking Cardinal rules.
Yeah, you'd be in good shape.
Hey, did you see Bill Murray was giving out candy in Louisville the other day? And I thought, I hope he didn't give any to Cardinal basketball players because the NCAA, they're going to slap no Reese's for Louisville players. All right. Hey, but anyway, we're going to go over before we get out to the Coach Miller show. Coach, I wanted to talk about, as your record, I heard several people talk about, well, their schedule's so soft. And you mentioned Paoli. I mean, that Providence-Paoli game, that's one of the biggest games in the state. I mean, I remember coaching in those Providence seniors in middle school, and that was, man, they had some studs back then. So I'm sure that's some of the seniors they're playing with this year. And Paoli is loaded, and you guys went toe-to-toe with Paoli, and you played a Salem team that was really better than the record, right, to a possession or two, and Mitchell was solid this year. You just
Valley was
an unfair criticism that your schedule was easy this year, I thought.
Yeah, you know, you got Salem that's, you know, finished 5-4 for the season. They're great. I felt like with their schedule, they were much better than 5-4, just like Springs Valley at 3-6. And Paoli was 9-0, now sitting at 12-0. There's only so much I can do about our schedule, you know. And my goal, we're 1A. We're 270 students. We're the 14th smallest school in the state that plays football. We're going to be the best football team we can be in our league. And if that gets some criticism, then it gets it. You know, I can't do anything about it. We're going to go play, and we're going to be the best team that we can be. And ultimately, our goal is to be playing for titles at the end. I've been very fortunate since 2010. That was our first year to be playing a sectional title. So we played 5 out of 9 years in the sectional title game. And, you know, unfortunately, we've only won two of those. We got upset in 16. In 2010, the first one, it was a close game. It was 2-0. It was like a baseball game. 2-0 against Milan. And then they ripped off some big stuff in the second half and just kind of throttled us. They were much bigger. And that was my fourth year as a head coach. And looking at that game thinking, okay, we got to do some things differently. We got to get bigger up front. We got to get stronger. And 12, unexpectedly, you know, we were fourth-ranked team in the sectional going in. And we pull off a sectional championship. 15th, we win it. 16, we get upset. And then this year, we lose. But, you know, when you start putting yourself in that position, you start preparing yourself to win titles. And, you know, unfortunately, we've only won 2 out of 5, but that's going to change. And I can tell you that right now, it's going to change because I got a group of guys that's going to make that change. And, you know, when you get to November, Reed May and I talk a lot. When you get to November, that's when memories are made, and we're going to make memories of not just being there but winning titles. And, you know, we're fortunate to be there, and we can't wait for the opportunity next year.
Awesome. And for you guys, I've always been curious about this from a player's perspective. When you win like you have, and, of course, you're just a couple years removed from having that group that won so much with McFeeters and company, does that go through the hallways? Do you hear players who maybe haven't played in a year or two say, hey, I want to get back out there with you guys? Does winning kind of recruit the hallways at the high school level?
Oh, yeah. Today we were talking to Ethan Bishop, who just didn't play this year. He played last year. We were like, Bishop, you can come out and play next year? He's like, yeah, we're going to be really good. we're trying to talk Gavin Smith back into it. He's like, it's in the back of my mind. I may play. So, I mean, us winning is really getting a lot of kids out.
Do you see that too, Bobby, that other kids who maybe haven't played want to kind of, hey, let's go. I'm going to go back out there and be part of what you guys are going to do.
Yeah. A lot of people didn't really expect how good we were going to be this year. And most of students from the school have been really talking about it. And they've been I think some of them are probably going to come out and play next year. They haven't been playing for a few years.
Right. From a coaching standpoint, you can't recruit outside the school, but inside the school, winning kind of takes care of that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. You know, I've always told my coaches, we've had guys come out and play or guys decide not to play. As coaches, it's our job. It's really up to us to convince guys why they should play. And once we get them there, at least get the taste of it, convince them why it's important to be out there. When you're talking 1A, I mean, we've got 270 kids in 4 grades. It's our job, our role as a coach is what's it take to get every athlete out. We still got a couple athletes that didn't play this season that can make us better. So, you know, we're going to continue to work on them. But if we can get those guys out, you know, that's the difference in being a sectional title contender to a state contender. So we're going to continue to work on those guys because we want them to be a part of it, but at the same time, they make us better.
All right, Coach. Well, we want to thank head coach Philip Bausman for coming in, the West Washington Senators. It's probably maybe a year and a half away, but you're knocking on 100 wins in 12 seasons. That's something that's out there for you. I'm sure that's secondary to the things that you want this group to accomplish. Holden Bausman and Bobby Stevens, we want to thank you guys on a rainy night for coming in, talking some football with us. We'll put football to bed. When will you start preparing for next year?
We start tonight. You know, I mean, in a way, I mean, I told the guys today, I said, we may not start lifting. We may not start catching footballs out of the jugs. We may not start thinking about the X's and O's. But from you, from an individual standpoint, what is your goal? What are you doing to prepare for next year? And some of that may be just in your mind, be thinking about what you need to do. You know, we have a jugs machine. Receivers, start catching footballs out of the jugs. You know, there's so many little things that you can start doing, but you know, when a season ends, you look at, we graduated this amount of guys and, you know, how are we going to rebuild and so forth. We graduated 6 seniors and 3 of them played. You know, the other guys, I mean, we got a lot of guys back. So it was real easy Friday night when that game ended to start talking in my office about, all right, this guy's going to be here, this guy's going to be there, here's who we need to get out. It's pretty exciting, and I really, truly believe that our guys today, yesterday, Friday night after the game, started planning for next season. And we have that type of guys that are that mentality. That's what wins you titles. And when you have that, it makes it real easy as a coach. And my job's pretty easy when it comes to the talent I have and the mentality that I have with the players.
All right, so the Senators, they're one team with one dream, Blair, and they got a little bit more of a taste of it this year, so I'm sure they'll be hungry when the balls start flying for real here in the offseason. We just want to remind all the listeners, tomorrow night, election coverage, wall-to-wall here locally, and there'll be some updates on the national level, but really, WSLM, I have you covered with all the local races. Sports are wall-to-wall, even though football ended here. We got some basketball mania following this show. Archie Miller is going to be talking about the Hoosiers and their week to come. The Pacers will be on WSLM Wednesday night as they travel to Philadelphia to take on the 76ers. And then Friday night, IU takes on Montana State while the Lady Lions battle Clarksville. The Lady Lions game is going to be on 1220 a.m. I think that'll probably be pretty ugly, Blair. I don't know from what I've heard about Lady Generals. And I'm sure the IU game against Montana State will be, too. And then Saturday, wall-to-wall football. IU football takes on Maryland. Purdue looking for a big win against Minnesota. They're still in the race, Blair, to go to the Big Ten championship game. And then Saturday, the Lady Lions take on Jennings County. That'll be on WSLM and Purdue. Basketball battles Ball State.
Ball State probably win that.
But we got some, the other county teams are in action, like we mentioned earlier. Eastern's girls travel to North Harrison Friday night, and the Lady Senators got a couple games this week. They're in action Thursday night at home against South Central, and then they'll be playing Saturday. Do you know who the Saturday opponent is,
Coach? Southwestern.
Southwestern.
Beat them by 6 last Saturday in the tourney.
Hey, I just want to say before we get out of here, one of the things to these guys is, you know, make sure, you know, in the off season and next season, you know, you don't take for granted that you have a lot of people coming back and you know, make sure you push everybody to work hard. You know, Phillips class in 94, we won a sectional and we had a lot of good juniors in that class, and then we brought back 22 seniors the year after, and we lost 4 games. And it's something that kind of sits with me and a lot of my teammates, that maybe we didn't work as hard as we should have in the off season, and just, you know, don't take for granted that you have another year left, because and I know you won't, but, you know, just, you know, you guys are the leaders now, and you've been leaders since you were younger, but, you know, really push those guys, and you guys have the opportunity, something really special in 1A, and you know, make sure that you you know, every day counts.
One of my favorite Neil Coyle quotes in my years of covering sports here was, another year older doesn't mean another year better. You got to go to work and get better. Yes. So that was a great quote. And
just excited about what you guys accomplished, and we wish you luck in the future. And remember to tune in for all your basketball coverage. I was going to do a shout out before we go, Greg. Cassidy Keltner was on the all tournament team, the Henryville tip off tournament. She had a monster week while the Lady Senators went 3-1. I told Coach Russell today, hey, the 4-0 was the goal, but the next best thing is 3-1. And they had a monster week last week, and hopefully they'll pick up two wins. And
I'm a big fan of hers. I love how she plays. She's very, very physical and just 100 mile an hour, you know, every time she gets out there. So
she had to pick up slack. Maddie was out this weekend, so Cass did a great job. Got some foul trouble Saturday night. Team did their job to keep the game close, and then she was able to get back in and extend the thing and win Friday or Saturday night. So it was a great effort. The girls played great Saturday.
All right. So Coach Miller is coming up next. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with you next Monday night. We don't know who we got coming in yet, but we'll have somebody.
I'll be here. That's all that matters, George.
All right. Hey, good night. Remember, exercise your right to vote tomorrow, no matter who you're voting for.
You've been listening to Kentuckiana Sports Talk on WSLM 1220 AM and 97.9 FM. Join us next week for more sports talk about local, regional, and national sports. Be sure to call in on the KST Talk line at 812-883-3401. And between now and then, tweet your comments and questions to KY in Sports Talk or post them on our Facebook page at Kentuckiana Sports Talk. We'll have a question of the week, polls for you, and all the latest news and interviews with local and regional players and coaches. Join George and Blair next week on Kentuckiana Sports Talk.